right, tonight we're going to talk about something that I believe is, and I say this all the time, but I believe it's from God. I don't say something unless I think it's what God is saying to me. And I've been really, this week I've been struggling because God has had me strategically directed towards this service on Saturday. I mean, focus. And I got up this morning and God really opened up something to me. And me and my husband have even been sitting there just kind of pouring over it. Because I do believe that God has us all kind of in the same journey. How many of you agree with that? We're all walking through this wilderness together. We're all going somewhere. We all have these promises that are set before us. We all are leaving things behind us. We're all in this together. So I love it when God speaks to us because he's speaking to more than just me. There's a scripture in Matthew, let me make sure I have it right, in Matthew 21, 18, no, not 21, 18, Matthew, no, yeah, it is, Matthew 21, 18, and then it is also, again, in Mark, but I'm going to use the story from Matthew, and I've read this scripture a whole bunch, and I've heard this story preached a whole bunch of different ways, but God really spoke to me in this, in direction into my life this morning. It says in Matthew 21, 18, it says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry." He talking about Jesus. And he said, "And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it, and he found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately, the fig tree withered away." Now, I've heard that even preached in a way that says, you know what, even Jesus gets hungry. I've heard that preached that way before. Even Jesus gets aggravated. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't think Jesus really got aggravated. I think Jesus really walked out perfect, perfect heart of God on this earth. I think he really did. But I think that everything we saw Jesus do, it had so many different levels to it that we can sit there and dig into it and dig into it and we'll never get to all the different meanings of what Jesus was saying here. But one thing I want us to understand is that Jesus walked up to a fig tree that had leaves on it. Now, I've been for a couple of weeks studying about the fig trees, and what they say about a fig tree is that when a fig tree has leaves, it's already past its first fruit. That a fig tree will first have its fruit, and then when the leaves come, the fruit fall off. So we know in Mark where it says that the fig tree did, it was not in a season of first fruits. So we can agree with that. Just by what we know about trees now, that a fig tree, the first thing that shows up on a fig tree would be the fruit. So when Jesus came up and he saw leaves on it and there were no figs on it, why would Jesus have cursed that? Do what? Well, that is what Adam and Eve covered up with. But one thing that I've learned about a fig tree is, if a fig tree is healthy, if a fig tree is nourished, if a fig tree is full of nutrients, that it will continue bearing fruit. It's not a fruit that will just bear one time. So when a fig tree gives off its first fruit, if it's healthy, if it's watered, if it's staying full of nutrients, it will continue bearing more figs and more figs. So when Jesus came up on this fig tree had already been through a season of bearing fruit, maybe, probably. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But what we do know is that that tree had the potential to be connected into a place that it could continue bearing fruit. And God so convicted me right there. Because I'm going to tell you, church, we should be continuously bearing fruit. It is in our spirits to whatever our environment is. Whatever our situation is, that we have everything that we need to be connected to be continuously bearing fruit. And when Jesus shows up, I'm going to tell you, Jesus is going to show up expecting us to bear fruit, to bear godly fruit, to be able to show up and to see our lives and to see us in situations where we're being loving, where we're being kind, where the fruits of the Spirit are birthing in our life. So I want to start out this with this, just this statement right here is God expects us to bear fruit. Even if it is not the moment where we have walked through seasons and we saw the seed grow in the ground and it was the moment to bear fruit, all throughout this year, all throughout our seasons, all throughout our life, God gives us everything we need to bear good fruit. No excuses. No excuses about it. We have potential, just like the fig tree has potential to continuously in every season bear fruit. And Jesus so expected that of a fig tree in relation, Jesus expects that of us. Man, I know some of you are in difficult seasons. I know some of you are in tough seasons. You're in trying seasons. You're in drought seasons. You're in hard seasons. But I'm going to tell you the truth, you're connected to the vine. You're connected to something that everything you need in that season to bear good fruit is there. And God expects that of us. Now that sounds hard and that sounds harsh, but Jesus came and cursed the tree. And I'm telling you, sometimes the truth hurts, but we need to know this is a season God wants us to bear fruit in. This is a season God is looking to the church, to His children, to say, even though the world seems dried up right now, I'm going to be the tree when He passes that's bearing fruit so that people can see what I'm connected to, so people can see that in me. All right, one thing about God is God moves in our lives a lot of times in ways in our lives that we don't really expect Him to move. In our lives, God moves in different ways. One thing about the way God moves is God moves completely. So when He moves into a situation, God has this unbelievable knowledge of how to work out that entire situation for us, in us, through us, out of us, and for everyone else around us. Is that believing? Have you ever found that out to be true? Man, God is strategically awesome. He has that ability. One thing that God is doing, I know, in this season right now, is God is moving in every one of our lives. If we, this year, are in this season, because God is in a moving season, God is moving us to somewhere, God is moving in our lives this year. God is delivering us out of things. How many of you can say amen to that? I can say amen to that. God is bringing us into things. God is bringing us over things. God is bringing things to us. God is doing some incredible things. But one thing about the way God moves in all of those areas is God moves first, and we've talked about this quite a bit. He moves it through us. He moves it in us. Let me give you an example of that for this year. Me and my family in the last 2 years have went through 4 different broken arms. 4. When you show up to the doctor's office once, twice, 3 times, when you get to there to that 4th time, I promise you they're looking at you like they're going to call DHS as soon as you walk out of the, and it don't matter how many stories and how good they are, I'm telling you, when you see that the enemy is attacking your family, when there's a situation that seems repetitive, it wakes you up, right? You can make excuse the first time. I've got some rowdy boys. I do. I've got sweet boys. But, man, they're boys. They're all boys. But we have, in the last 2 years, went through 4 broken arms. We went through one of my sons having a broken arm in the same place, which they tell me is almost impossible. It's almost impossible to break your arm in the same place. And one of my boys did that. So God really laid it on me and my husband's heart to pray and to really stand against that. To not allow that. And that was back before we had the 4th one. So at the coming end of the year, last year, God said, you know what? Don't allow that. Don't allow the devil to do that. You stand up against that. You know, there are too many scriptures about even Jesus, there was not a broken arm. It is not something that God was moving and stirring in and over protection in our family in a different way. In and over health and healing in our family in a different way. And He started stirring this into the end of last year. Okay? On the 31st of the end of last year, we were in the emergency room with my son doing surgery on his broken arm. So we've done it four times in the very end of last year. So we get into this year and we're making a stand this year. We will not see any more broken bones. Devil, you can't come against our family that way. This was personal with me. I'm a mama. This became very a part of my fast and part of my stand and part of what I was believing for this year. And as soon as we got into this year, the enemy attacked me with a health issue. It was a female issue. And it was something that I really began to struggle with. It caused me to have a lot of being drained and being tired and having no energy. So as soon as, how many of you ever found that? As soon as God gives you something to stand or a vision, or he tells you something he's wanting to do, you get up and you make a stand in it. And the enemy comes in and he begins to attack you in it. This is the way the enemy works. We all know that. Okay? So I really went throughout the first of this year standing, and I kept on standing, and I was literally almost coming to a place where I was agreeing a little bit with what the enemy said. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I'm 100% for that. I always do that. But God had really put in my heart that he was going to fix a situation. But I started rationalizing against a promise God had given me over this year, over my body, through that. And so I started letting the thoughts of fear come in. And even letting the thoughts of fear cause me to move into a position of listening and obeying. Do you ever do that? Those thoughts of fear come in, and then they could start, you kind of get into the motions of it before you even realize that. And so I knew I was making this stand of faith in and over my family, and it was right, and it was strong. But as soon as the enemy came in and started attacking me, I made this strong stand, but fear started coming in and working on my mind and working on my thoughts. And you know what God amazingly started doing? He started revealing that that was there. That's what God does. I'm going to tell you, this is how God works. God will put you somewhere to believe and do things for you, but it's got to work out of you. It's got to work through you. We can make strong stands, but if it's not a stand of faith that God has done inside of us, the truth is we're going to be knocked over. We're going to be knocked down. The start of faith that God wants to do for you, it's got to start in you. It's got to be something that God can birth in you and it come out of you. So I started wavering a little bit in this area. I started agreeing with fear a little bit in this area. I started obeying fear just a little bit in this area. And then I was at church and I had someone come up to me and say, they had no idea of this battle. They said, God has already healed you. All you got to do is believe it. You know what that did for me? That was such a wonderful thing of God for me. That straightened me right back up where God started me back out in this year. And he loves us that way. God loves us that way. That built faith back up in me. And I'm telling you, I roared with that word. And in about 2 or 3 weeks, that health issue was completely gone. Completely gone. It was an attack of the enemy on my family. But the enemy knew he probably couldn't attack my family. He could attack me. He came through me to get to them because I was the one, me and my husband, we were making this stand. So I want you to understand this is the way the enemy works. The enemy comes in to do things in us to stop what God is wanting to do for us, to get us to agree with that. And one way to understand that is a chick. God told me this way, and I thought this was really weird, but it works. It totally works, right? You have an egg, right? And a chick is formed in this egg, okay? So it grows in this egg. But it comes to a point in this chicken's life, and I'll be the chicken in the egg. It comes to a point in this life where it's time to break out of what it has known and move on to another place. To step up to another level. To take a stand in a greater place. God is calling us somewhere, right? We're going somewhere. God has great things he wants to do for us and in us and through us. But we're in this little shell at this moment. So it would be really wonderful if God caused birth to be this way in our life, in our spiritual life. If like the big mama chicken and the little chick, if she could just come and crack that egg open and there was that baby. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that just be awesome? Isn't that spiritually what we would love? God, please come in, break all of it off so that I can be free. I love that thought, but that's not completely the way God works. God works in us to work through us, to work for us. So here's what God does. He starts to strengthen that little chick's wings and starts to help that little chick grow and get stronger. And that little chick starts to peck that egg. And that chicken starts to itself break out of this shell. So when it comes out of this shell, it's strong enough to handle the situation that God is calling it into. God wants to work through you to break off out of you, to move you into what He wants you to do, what He wants to do for you. And we need to understand that is the way God loves us, and that is the way that God works. So your next stage is probably contingent on you breaking some shells, on you pecking at some hard things of fear and insecurities and judgments that you have allowed to live in for this season. God wants to bring you out, but He wants to do it through you. So God is going to begin to reveal, which is where I believe we all have found ourselves this year. God is trying to do things for us to create fruit in our life. God's trying to set us up in situations to where that we can come out of things and come over things. But we have looked at it, I think, for so long from the wrong side. God is our deliverer. God is. But the same spirit that lived inside of Jesus lives inside of me. So God's going to help me. He's going to work through me. He's going to work for me. But He is going to allow me to crucify my flesh. He's a good father. Just like that mama chick, she's a good mama chick. If she broke that little egg for that chicken, do you know what would happen? That chicken would probably never be able to fly. Its wings would always be weak. It would not grow strength in areas that it will need to survive. God is allowing you to spiritually grow in areas that you need it to survive. You need it to move on. You need it to come up. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, in the Old Testament, because God uses this a lot of times to show me how He's working on me. In Exodus 1, you find the children of Israel in a place in their life to where they've birthed fruit. Just like that fig tree. They've had their first fruits. And God is getting them into a season, into a situation to bear more fruit. When it's time to bear more fruit, it can sometimes be a lot of work. It can sometimes be a lot of internal work. But that's not a bad thing, guys. That's a very good thing. In Exodus 1, we find where Joseph has died. And all of his brothers that had moved to Egypt had died. So that whole generation that they had with Pharaoh there, there's been a season, there's been a time passed. So it's not the same relationship that has been before, but it's not bondage yet. It's not that season of bondage that we know about at that time. See, this is the way the enemy works. He's very strategic. So we'll pick it up in 6, in Exodus 1:6. It says, "And Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation, but the children of Israel were fruitful and they increased abundantly. And they multiplied, and they grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them." That is a good thing. That means that they were bearing fruit. That means that the hand of God was on them, that they were being blessed. They were that first fruit out of Abraham. That was the promise of what God had promised them. And there was a fruitful season in their life. But then God brings us to another season of bearing more fruit. Church, I feel like that's where we are. I feel like we all have bore good fruit. Man, but God is doing a work in us that helps us to be fruitful, to bear more fruit. He expects this of us. So it goes on, it says in verse 8, But now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go up out of the land. That is the craziest statement to me ever. I'm telling you, fear is irrational. Fear is an irrational motivator in your life and in my life. If you sometimes can separate yourself from what you're feeling and start actually look at what you're thinking, if it's fear-driven, a lot of times it's crazy. How many of you ever done that? When you're through that or you've actually messed all that up and you look back and you're like, what in the world was I thinking? That is crazy. All right, that's where we see this right here. Fear causes you to do things that honestly secure you most of the time to what you're fearing. You can see that played out perfectly right here. Because here's what happens. The children of Israel and the Egyptians, they're living together in harmony. It does not talk about conflict. They're living together in peace. So then Pharaoh begins to listen to lies of fear in and over his life. And when he begins to listen to it, it says, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. All right, so here's what he is with. He is with mighty men. He is with a large group of men. So somehow in his rational thinking, he thinks, let's deal shrewdly with them. Does that make any sense? Does it make any sense to deal harshly with people around you that could cause that situation to go that way? In my mind, if I look at that situation, if I deal harshly with you, I'm going to make you my enemy. If we're not enemies before, if we are at peace with each other, if I deal harshly with you, I'm going to make you want to even run from me. This is the deception of the enemy in our life. This is where the enemy comes in. He begins to feed us lies. He begins to speak lies of fear, of anger, of frustration, of doubt, of insecurities. And we have a choice, just like Pharaoh did right there. What are we going to do with that? Just like me, when I stepped out into this year and there was health battles coming my way, I'm going to tell you, the enemy was feeding me lies of fear. And I had a choice there. I had a choice to obey that fear. You can obey fear, and if you do, you can see it all throughout the Word of God. If you move into a place to where you're letting fear be your motivator, you're really securing yourself to what the enemy wants to do in your life. And you will not bear fruit. You will not bear the fruit God wants you to bear this year. There's going to be a lot of reasons. I believe all of us has walked through this year. There's been a lot of reasons to fear this year, has there not? Oh my gosh, yes. There's been many reasons to even rationalize reasons to step out and work with fear this year. But if you allow fear to be your motivator, fear will cause you to do and see things and go in the direction that it's going to secure what you're fearing. What Pharaoh had feared, he began to feed it. Because here's what happened. He began to do things that would feed and ignite that situation to more fear. If you feed your fear, it's going to grow. Whatever the enemy is trying to keep you from walking into this year, he's going to plant lies of fear, and it's our job to not feed it, to not come into agreement with it. Let me give you another word, to not worship it. You can worship fear. You can obey fear. You can bow down to fear. If you do, fear will lead you throughout this whole entire year. And you will not be able to produce what God is wanting you to produce in this season.
God wants us to produce good fruit. That's the reason for this season. This might not be the first fruit season. This is the second fruit season. Or this might be your third fruit season. But I can assure you that if you let fear motivate where you're going this year, you will not produce good fruit. It will cut you off from what God is wanting to do in your life. So we see that Pharaoh came into this agreement and he was manipulated by fear. Actually, the truth is, if Pharaoh would not have fought the children of Israel, they were lazy. We saw that just a few books on. They were lazy. They were weak emotionally. The children of Israel probably would have lived in Egypt forever. Do you know that? They probably would have settled camp there and been happy. But because the enemy could come in and cause Pharaoh to fear, he secured their exit. God uses everything. God uses everything. There was a season in my life where God really brought me to a moment in time. And I had moved to a season of good fruit in these relationships in my life. It was good fruit. We had moved to a place of peace where there wasn't peace. We'd moved to a place of joy where there wasn't joy. It moved to a very peaceful relationship with people that really had set up against me for a long time. And God came to me and he said this. He said, I want you to humble yourself before them and lift them up. Now, that's what we do with Jesus. What was extremely hard in that situation is I knew that if I did that, that person would see that a different way. They wouldn't say, oh, you're humble, you know, which was what I was doing, right? They would have saw that as me saying they're right and writing away all of this history behind us. And I'm telling you, that was hard. It was extremely hard to do that. So God gave me this challenge. We had came to a place of good fruit. God was asking me for more fruit. Did that make sense? That wasn't fair. God, I've given you the fruit. But God was asking me for more. He was saying, I want to do something in you that's going to produce a new level of fruit. And it's going to start through you. So instantly the devil started speaking lies of fear. If you do that, you will never be able to come back from that. If you do that, that spirit of pride that they fight is going to come up and it's going to abolish all that y'all have made progress to get here. The enemy started feeding me these fears of what if I obeyed God would happen. And God brought me to this story right here. He brought me right here and he said, if you fear, you're securing it. If you let fear be your motivator, if you let fear be what's driving you, we're going somewhere this year. I'm going to tell you, it didn't look like that at all. It don't, usually when God begins to work on our lives. This story right here was the beginning of Israel's freedom. It started right here in this moment. And it didn't look like that at all. It looked crushing. It looked hard. It looked difficult. How many of you in this season right now, does it not feel like your world at times is crushing all around you? Does it not seem right now like what is you're standing in, it's become almost something that if you move wrong, it's going to all cave down on your head? I'm going to tell you the truth. That's the way that God works best. He works from within to work out. He moves in our lives to move through our lives. So God brought me to this place right here. And I had to come to a point where I just decided, God, I'm going to fear you more than I fear the outcome, more than I fear man, more than I fear the past, the future. I'm going to fear you. Because this is what God told me. He said, I don't have to know the outcome. I just have to know that I'm in it for him.
This year, I believe that's the situation God has put so many of us in. I'm going to tell you the truth. We've got to come to a place in our hearts where we don't have to know the outcome. We've got to know that we're in it for Him. We've got to know that we fear God more than we fear any other outcome of any situation that we're involved in. I heard it said this week. I heard a preacher say it and I loved it. He said, fear of God is simply putting up your hands and worshiping Him. When you can worship His way, His plan, and His purpose in your life. So I'm going to tell you, every time I'm in a situation where I know that it is a choice what I'm going to fear, I'm going to by action throw my hands up and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to fear You. I'm going to worship You. Because here's what happens is, what we fear, we obey. If we fear that spirit of fear and the outcome that's associated with it, we're going to start obeying that. But if we fear God, we obey His word. We obey what He tells us to do. We step out in faith and we see only what God can do in us. If you read on in this story, you see the same exact role play out. Fear came in, but this time fear didn't just come in someone's mind. It came in through the mouth of Pharaoh. Because it says in verse 13, it says, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them serve was rigorous. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, and he said, what do you do when you do the duties of midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on their birth stools? If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then you shall let him live. So here's these same story, same challenge. But see, these women are connected to something that Pharaoh had no idea about. These women are connected to what me and you are connected to, okay? We're connected to something that when God says, you know what, I'm birthing more fruit here, we have a source that gives us strength that the world doesn't offer. So they're in the same situation, but here's what is being fed into them. If you don't do this, it will probably be your life. Can you imagine the thoughts of fear that begin to flood their life? Oh, this is something beyond just being obedient to fear. This is something to a point to where your life is on the line. But I'm going to tell you, I know some of you are facing things like that this year. Your life is on the line to what you choose to fear this year. My life has been on the line to where I choose to walk in and what I chose to obey. These women with the same challenge that Pharaoh had, we're connected to something. That it said in 17, but the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded. But they saved the male children. That's what I'm going to tell you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what fear is feeding you. You don't have an excuse not to fear God. Fearing God is the beginning of... Can somebody tell me? It is. It's the way that we get in alignment with God's plan, and it's the way that we get in alignment with what God is wanting to do. And a lot of times, I'm going to tell you, it don't make any sense, but at least we can be a people by choice that say, I'm going to fear God. I don't got to know the outcome. I'm going to allow this season to birth in me the second level of fruit. Because here's what happened to these women. It says, so the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to him, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. I think that was probably truthful. You know, that's one of those things. That you can tell the truth and not the whole truth, but something but the truth, something like that right there. But therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and they continued to grow very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God. Because they did what? Feared God. Because they did what? That He provided households for them.
See, those midwives had a need. They needed children. They needed a husband. They needed a family. They needed something that nothing could do. Pharaoh couldn't even offer that. But what they knew is that if they aligned themselves with fearing God, that they would be in a position to bear good fruit in their lives. I'm going to tell you, the promise that God has promised you this year is good fruit. It's what other people around you will be able to see. Hey, they're connected to something. And even in a season when you come up and you look at my life and there is no fruit, how is there fruit on their vine? I fear God. I fear God. It don't matter what the outcome, what the situation, what the circumstances in any moment you are connected to something that can put a faith and a fear in God. And it starts with you. Because the midwife feared God. Do you know what that gave all the Egyptian women the ability to do? To fear God. Do you know what came out of an Israelite woman fearing God? A little boy put inside of a reed basket, put down in the water, and released to God. She feared God. She feared God more than she feared those alligators. She feared God more than she feared even her own death. It gave her, she said, well, if they can fear God, I can fear God. When you fear God, other people say it. When you fear God and God moves, other people are inspired to fear God. To honor Him, to reverence Him, to worship Him, to obey Him. You become a part of a bigger picture that is bigger than just me. That is bigger than just you. See, God wanted to deliver all of them. His plan was to deliver all of them. But it started with one step of faith. Connected and building on one step of faith. If we could see the picture of what God was wanting to do in all of our lives collectively, it would blow our mind. You know that? If we could see what God is weaving in all of our levels of faith and growth and miracles in this season, it would blow our mind. But what you can know is God is personal enough that it is just as important for Him to do it for everyone as it is for Him to do it for you. It is just that important. So as important it was for those midwives to have a family, as important it was for Moses' mom to know that he was going to be okay, as important as it was for every one of those Israelites to walk out of Egypt, all of it was God's mighty working plan. And it took steps of fearing God, personally, individually, corporately, all along the way. Me and my husband, we're in a battle right now, and every time that we make a stand and we fear God, we know it's a bigger picture. Do I know the bigger picture? No. Did the midwives know the bigger picture? No. Do you know? But God does. But God does. And as much as those midwives needed a family, they needed to get their family out of Egypt. Do y'all agree with that? They needed to not be in bondage forever. So every step along the way is bringing you and your family and what God has promised you to a greater level of freedom. But it's got to start with me. It's got to start with this little chick that's inside of this little egg that God is saying, okay, let's break out now. Let's break out. Let's not fear our health this year. Let's not walk in judgmental attitudes this year. Let's not get angry this year. Let's break out of it. Let's let God do it in us in such a way that it changes and it bears fruit in our life. I want all of us just for a second, Joe, if you'll just turn on music just for a second and just close your eyes. Because I know, without a shadow of a doubt, God is speaking this to me. I know I'm that little chick and that little egg, and I know that God is teaching me how to not fear and how to trust and how to have a heart of mercy and how to have a heart of love and grace. I know that God is causing me to have second fruits in my life. But I know that God is calling you too. So I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit. First, let's just thank Him. Say, Holy Spirit, thank You for causing me to bear fruit this year. Thank you for giving me everything I spiritually need to bear fruit in the fruit bearing season. It's easy when it's fruit bearing season. But Holy Spirit, I don't want Jesus to look down at my life. I don't want to be caught in a season where I could have bore fruit. And because of fear, because of discouragement, because of insecurities, I didn't grow. Holy Spirit, show me the area. Show me where you want me to break out. To come over. To step out. To be strengthened. I want to grow. I want to bear. I want to be called fruitful. I don't want to be caught not being connected to you. I don't want to be caught not fearing God in my life in a way that I honor and I obey and I cling to you. Show me an area to where you are calling me out, to call me through, to call me to overcome. I know the Holy Spirit, He's a really good leader. And I know He's really good at showing us where in our lives He's wanting to bring us to. So I just want you in your heart, I just want you to come into agreement and say, All right, I'm going to fear God more than I'm going to fear the doctor. I'm going to fear God more than I'm going to fear my own thoughts. I'm going to fear God more than I'm going to fear my future, more than I'm going to fear my past. I'm going to fear God having no idea what the outcome is going to be. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to fear Him. I'm going to obey Him. And it's going to be said of me, just like it was said of those midwives. It's going to be said of me, because I feared God, that you provided for me my miracle. Because I feared you, God, you provided for me. I can't provide it for me, but you want to provide it for me. Lord, help me not to stay in this season. Help me to grow and break into that next season with the strength that you have created inside of me to be able to live and thrive in that next season. Holy Spirit, right now, I believe that you are a wonderful spiritual surgeon. Right now, coming into our lives and speaking and showing things that only you can begin to inspire and speak. Church body, I want you to confess out of your mouth, even if it's just by faith right now. Say, I'm going to fear God. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to throw my hands up. And I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to be found this year. Birthing second fruits. Birthing third fruits. It said even a tree in that part of the world could birth 10 different seasons of fruit. 10. I'm going to tell you, God can do amazing things in your life if we can just believe. I bind the spirit of fear. I just command that spirit of fear has no power over our lives and over our week and over our thought and over our walk. I believe that spirit of fear is bound and it is crucified. It will not rise up and dictate my future. It will not rise up and dictate where I go, and I will not obey it. Say that with me. I will not obey fear. It will not manipulate me. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.